Gain-of-function research is a type of biomedical research where pathogens are adulterated, viruses are adulterated to make them more potent or to change the way that they function.
It's a big deal. Could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had.
A lot of people say that, sir.
If we had this done.
There is now another new director of the nation's top public health agency. President announcing on Truth Social that Dr. Erica Schwartz will take over as the next leader of the CDC.
I do believe that mRNA technology is safe and effective.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We found in this study, looking at the vaccine adverse event reporting system, these vaccines have killed like 2,600% more children than measles has for the past 30 years.
In your entire career, how many fetuses have you worked with?
Well, I don't remember the exact number, but quite a few when we were studying them originally. Before we decided to use them to make vaccines.
The end game has always been, and Bill Gates said this very clearly in 2011, the World Health Organization has stipulated this from 2011, and they recited again in 2018 and 2019, their end game is the decrease of the population of humanity on this planet. And that's a polite way of saying that these are sociopathic murderers who are actually building weapons to conveniently turn what we call healthcare into the front line of the biggest mercenary deployment of mass murdering psychopaths we've ever seen on this planet. And we as a society need to understand that it's not coming from a foreign adversary. It's coming from domestic adversaries who are intent on destroying the orderly structure of the United States.
I think Bill Gates has done more damage to the world's health than probably any other individual, aided and abetted by Tony Fauci.
You murdering Bill Gates!
Michael Barr!
You son of a...
You have blood on your hands! You have blood on your hands!
Sure, but you're a certified medical doctor, so, I mean, you're not allowed to do something to me without consent. It's a felony. I'm asking how Bill Gates and Google run around in Latin America and here and then dump out GMO mosquitoes with God knows what to supposedly, you know, flying syringes is what they call it. Who gave him the right? I got to go to the hospital, the doctor, and sign consent forms. Why does Dr. Bill Gates get to rape me and my family and put in my body what he wants?
I believe it was Tennessee that outlawed edible vaccines in their grocery store. Because, again, you don't know what the dose is. You don't know how much you're supposed to eat. I mean, what happens if you're supposed to eat one head of lettuce and you eat 10 heads of lettuce? What kind of dose does that do to your body? The whole vaccine industry, honestly, Alex, just needs to blow up and go away.
House Bill 1894 merely would require any food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material would have to be classified as a drug and labeled as such.
So it's no secret that Bill Gates is one of the most hated evil people on earth. And that he put all his money into tax-free foundations, so he basically pays no taxes. Then he uses large parts of the profit to buy off all the major regulatory institutions of the world at the UN, globalist level, and at the national level. And people who want to kill everybody pose as liberal-loving, you know, take this shot, take this COVID shot, you can't get COVID, you can't spread it. But they want to get rid of the poor, they want to get rid of the middle class, they want to get rid of the white people, they want to get rid of everybody that basically stands in their way. And what they really want is the power to kill whoever they want.
We were going to make a movie together and they just had a beautiful new baby. And I said, well, what shots did you give the baby? She said, none. And I said, what? She said, yeah, they're too small to absorb those toxins right now. They don't have an immune system. They have an external immune system. Their mother's breast milk.
Yes.
And I said, well, why do you tell other people to get it? We said, well, that's up to them. When we went to school, it's like three shots. Now it's staggering. It's 72 different doses of 16 different vaccines before the age of six. And we're wondering, why is there, and people go, I can't have anything to do with it. I can't have anything to do with it. Are you nuts? So,
by the way, I should say for the record, I think YouTube will censor this.
No, they will.
They'll demonetize absolutely. It just for having this conversation.
I'm sorry. Well, you might have to put this out there with this part cut out.
You cannot, under any moral justification, come up with an excuse that says it's acceptable to have a death rate of American citizens. And that's a quote that has come not only from Moderna, but also from Pfizer. They
do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day you remain on the sidelines, my power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this Friday. We got the address from Donald Trump to talk about, the corruption of our election by the Chinese. Of course, we've got to talk about anti-Semitism. Of course, we have to talk about that. Talk about Flock. We'll talk about what's going on in the Iran war, whatever the latest is going on there. But I think I want to start with a video that's gone totally mega viral many, many times over on X. It's a man running for office in Maine, I guess. It's our first introduction to this gentleman. Let's go to, we actually got a couple of good ones. Can we go to clip 32? Let's go to clip 32 here. This is the Maine senatorial debate for the Democrat candidates. One candidate is standing out from all the others. Let's watch.
Oh, I ran for office several times. Didn't win, but I did run. And then I'm a songwriter, and then I write my own books. And then I suppose my transparency, I wouldn't lie to the people, and I wouldn't deceive the people like we're being deceived right now. Like,
it's better. It's better than a Saturday Night Live skit. I'm being totally serious. And it's so good. I don't know. I genuinely hope this is like a performance art piece, because it's very good. It's very hysterical. So I'm gonna watch now. so the Senate candidates are asked what experience do they have? Why should they be Senate candidates? In particular, about their experience, their wealth of knowledge, what qualifies them for being a senator. Let's listen to Ashley Webb's response again.
Oh, I ran for office several times. Didn't win, but I did run. And then I'm a songwriter, and then I write my own books. And then I suppose my transparency, I wouldn't lie to the people, and I wouldn't deceive the people like we're being deceived right now. Like,
it's amazing. That's amazing. What qualifies you to be a senator? I write my own songs, and I write my own books. I like the way that he phrases it as if it's like normal books aren't good enough. He can't just be out there reading other people's books. For it to satisfy him, he's got to be the one to write it. Nobody else is capable of writing books that he is able to enjoy. When he says, like, I write my own books, it sounds like he's also reading his own books. Like, it doesn't even sound like he's publishing them. He's just like, I write the books that I read. I don't know. But then he says the thing that would qualify him would be his transparency, because he wouldn't lie. He wouldn't lie or try to deceive the people. This is a man in a dress. This is a man in a dress named Ashley saying how honest and truthful he is. He's like, my number one qualification, I guess, would be my dedication to reality. You know, and my dedication to honesty, to honestly brokering what is reality. I think that's my greatest strength, probably, says the man in a dress named Ashley. Here's I got a mission for the crew. How old do we think Ashley Webb is? I'm going to guess that he the crew's saying mid-40s. I think he is 39 years old. I think he's 39 years old. And the crew's going to look it up and we're going to find out because I've got an idea. I've got a theory about this person. My theory is that when I was growing up, I was born in 1989. I'm 36 years old. Ashley was the name of the popular cool kids. That was like a very popular, if you ever watch Recess, you remember it was the Ashleys. There was the group of the popular girls that were called the Ashleys. I just have a feeling that that might have been behind the name change. The man changed his name to Ashley Webb. And I just think this might be a little bit of an insight into his motivation for all of this. I have the feeling he's about my age, and he probably grew up with the name Ashley associated with the cool, hot, popular girls, and he always wanted to be a cool, hot, popular girl. Just my guess. Just my assumption. The crew will find the age here. Maybe mid-40s. I mean, she don't look good. She doesn't look good. She looks like a bad mid-30s. All right, let's go to the next clip. That's not the only one that's gone viral. Clip 34 here. Again, Ashley Webb making the case in this regard for why the trans community needs protection. Let's watch.
I'm Ashley Webb. I'm from Farmington, Maine. The biggest thing I'd like to get across is that we need unity. Whoever wins this nomination, we need to show up at the polls, we need to vote for them, and we need to make sure they win no matter what, because what's going on in this country is not right with the immigration and immigrants being targeted. They're being rounded up like animals. It's not acceptable to allow this to go on in our streets. And then with the trans community, like, we're being dehumanized. They say that we want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the bathroom. If they want me to use the men's room, I will, but I don't want to be assaulted. And as far as, like, this, what happened in Biddeford, it's unacceptable. We knew since January that what ICE has been doing with Alex and Renee.
Okay. It's almost funnier if you didn't know he was a trans person. That's what had me cracking up. Like, imagine you didn't know this was a trans person. You're just hearing, like, audio or whatever, or that wasn't part of it. He's like, I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the bathroom. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want pee in the toilet. What are we talking about here? That's crazy. It's like, no, he's a man who's dressed up like a woman. He wants to use the woman's bathroom. Okay, that makes less sense, actually. That makes even less sense. I mean, it didn't make sense already when the Senate candidate is saying, vote for me, I just want to use the potty. This is our country. This is our country, folks. This is our country. This is the United States of America in the year 2026. This guy might win. Why not, right? Why not? People are like, oh, he's honest. Her exact age or birth date is not publicly available. What? Okay. Was he made in a lab? Where did he come from? Is he a real person? Bullet point 3, public records match for Ashley Webb or Ashley J. Webb in Maine or nearby area show various unrelated individuals with ages in the 30s to 50s. The book summaries note she was born intersexed, raised as a boy, and spent decades navigating her condition, which implies she's likely in her 30s or older, consistent with running an office for 2012. What are we trying? We're trying to, like, find her star sign. It's like, no, there should just be a birth date somewhere. Who are you? What is your real name? That might be helpful. Tell us, like, give us what you were actually named by your parents, and maybe we can find you. Then again, I guess Ashley is an intersex name. It was a boy's name at one point, Ashley. So maybe we're all a little bit confused. To be perfectly, I'm going to linger on this story for as long as humanly possible, because yes, while on one hand it does represent the wholesale collapse of our entire nation in on itself with the man in a dress saying he's running for Senate because he wants to use the bathroom, it's okay. On one hand, it's still the symptom of a collapsing and dying and fraught society of chaos and insanity. Yes, that is true. But it's also kind of funny. But it's also pretty funny. And hey, he's not in office yet, so we can still laugh at him as just another crazy person without power yet. It's going to be a hell of a lot less funny when he's the one actually dictating policy. But let's not let it get, can we not let it get there? This is one of those instances, I think. It's one of those cases where a little bit of bigotry could go a long way. A little bit of discrimination could really save a lot of time. It's kind of like that Ben Franklin quote, stitch in time saves nine. It's kind of a little bigotry now saves a lot of suffering later. And I know we train ourselves. We continuously, for our whole lives as Americans, reestablish in our own minds to reject the proof of your eyes. It's like, I know this person looks like an insane idiot, but they could be a genius. You don't know. You don't know. And in general, I tend to live by that because truly it's shocking. You know, you see a dude in a suit, he's just the biggest scumbag in the world. Meanwhile, the person looks like they're homeless. It's actually like some professor. You know, so yeah, typically, but in this case, so with those caveats out of the way, in this case, let's discriminate, okay? Let's be bigots. Let's look at the man with the long stringy hair, barely putting a sentence together, wearing a dress. Let's just go, that's not who you want running things. It's just not. And I, in this case, absolutely judge the book by its cover. That's a great way to figure out whether you should read a book or not, is its cover, actually. But then you can hear the thing talk, and yeah, it doesn't get any better. It's actually kind of worse. It's actually worse, actually, when they talk. I almost want to play it again. It was so funny. I mean, genuinely, you can't act that well. I mean, it's that this is amazing. This is amazing. Tell the people, tell the voters, Ashley Webb, what qualifies you to sit amongst our halls of glory, to take your place in the hallowed confines of the United States Senate, this body of leaders and mavericks who dictate the course of our country and the world? Tell us, Ashley Webb, what qualifies you to rank amongst this glorious population? The floor is yours.
I'm Ashley Webb. I'm from Farmington, Maine. The biggest thing I'd like to get across is that we need unity. Whoever wins this nomination, we need to show up at the polls. We need to vote for them, and we need to make sure they win no matter what, because what's going on in this country is
why
not
would you
right.
Run? Why would you run? Like, can we, why would you run for office, lady? I mean, this is just...
It's not acceptable to allow this to go on in our streets. And then with the trans community,
I'm trying to be polite here, you know.
They say that we want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the bathroom.
There it is.
If they want me to
put that on a shirt, I think you have your bumper sticker. I think you just found your motto. I think you just found your slogan. The Ashley Webb version of Make America Great Again is I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the restroom. I just want to use the restroom. What's so wrong with that? Picture of a toilet, her face coming out of it. I think you have a winning campaign here. The Obama Hope poster, but it says poop. I think you have something here. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the restroom. Are you looking for a restroom? It's right over there. Oh, you mean like that's your goal in life? What? That's like your highest ambition as a politician? Okay. Oh, gosh. All right. It's Friday. I'm trying to take a little bit, you know, less seriously, and just like manna from heaven, we're delivered better
comedy than SNL. Let's run it back. Let's go 32 this time. Let's do the first video where they're asked to actually say what qualifies them. Let's go to clip 32 now. Again, your next senator from Maine, the hulking ogre, Lady Ashley. Let's watch.
I'm a songwriter, and then I write my own books, and then I suppose my transparency, I wouldn't lie to the people, and I wouldn't deceive the people like we're being deceived right now. Like,
you're right. You're not deceiving anybody. I mean, that was a moment of lucidity and clarity there. The man in the dress with the stringy hair going, I would not deceive anybody. You're damn right. That's why you're going in the men's bathroom, because you're not deceiving anybody. I just don't want to be assaulted. Well, by who? Nobody's going to assault you in the men's bathroom. They would insult you if you went into the women's bathroom. Don't go in there. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's wrong and bad. All right. My goodness. We are going to have to move on now. We're going to have to move on from Lady Blob. It's just, you know, can she be president? Can we make him/her president? At least it'd be fun. You don't know what you'd get. Why is this such a cult? What is going on with the LGBT in this country? Because it gets a little bit insane. We have a clip here of, I guess this is Nashville, clip number 9. For some reason, I was assuming this was, you know, Fort Worth because of all of the First Amendment mistakes they've made in the recent past, but Metro Nashville Police Department is putting up LGBTQ stickers on businesses as part of their Safe Place program. They're claiming these spots are protected zones where criticizing the LGBTQ community could get you in trouble. So this is the police. There's a couple oddities about this, but let's watch the video. Clip 9, here's Metro Police in Nashville talking about how gay they are. Let's watch.
I love being a part of it. I love being able to go out with my wife throughout the entire city. Holy. And being able to say, hey, I put that sticker on that business. Right. As of this morning, we have 129 different businesses. So a Safe Place is basically a business will get in contact with me. I'll come out to the location and go over the program. It's basically a safe place, essentially, for any victim of any hate crime whatsoever to come into the business, inform the business owners or the employees what happened to them, and then that business is responsible for keeping the victim in a safe public spot and then calling 911 on the behalf. Fun fact is that lipstick and chapstick are both part of Safe Place, but they're also one of the first ones when I came on to be the LGBTQ liaison, signed up to be a part of the Safe Place program. I think more now than ever, somebody needs to know that they're loved, whether it's within their blood family or within their chosen family. There's people out there for you, and to not be scared to live your full authentic self.
Look, I'm no expert in domestic abuse, but lesbian cop, that's a combo you're going to want to steer away from. I'm just saying, two highest rates of domestic abuse, professionally, cops, relationship status, lesbians. So I'm just saying, if you want to make sure to get the blackout on domestic abuse bingo, stick with the lesbian cop. That is a safe bet there. So I guess a safe space. So she's like, all right, we put these stickers on these buildings. So a safe space, I guess, to translate what she was saying, a safe space is like a building or a business. But it's a special building or business where if you're the victim of a hate crime, you can go inside and they'll call 911, which, you know, makes them like a business with humans. You know, it's unlike those other, you know, you try to go into the bar next door, they will actually continue to hate crime you. So we should put a sticker on their wall. Like, can you imagine? I mean, you can just imagine how useful this is. Probably every weekend, there's a moment where a gay person having just been savagely beaten in a hate crime attack, stumbling through the streets of Nashville, blood gushing from their nose, frantically looking for a rainbow sticker so they can go inside and know that they'll be protected and safe by the patrons inside. They stumble to one bar, and the bar owner's like, "You see a rainbow sticker in this window? Get out of here. We're not a safe space. We don't even have a telephone. How are we supposed to call 911? You got to go to one of them fancy places with the gay window. They'll hook you up. Not here." So thank goodness. So thank God we have the Safe Space program so that the everyday victims of the vicious anti-gay hate crimes can know which bars to stumble into to receive care and comfort rather than another beating. So thank goodness we have this. What would we do without them? But here's my question. How dangerous is it to be a gay person in a culture where you're going around putting giant stickers on businesses talking about how gay they are? Like, hear me out here. Hear me out here. In the Nazi times, they would draw a big Star of David on the Jewish shops to let everybody know it was Jews in there so that they could boycott it. And that was dangerous for the Jews there. That was a sign of what was to come. And the display of the sign was like a warning bell that they should listen to. In this case, this is the gay cop putting a gay sticker on the gay business to tell everybody how gay it is because of how scary it is to be gay. Because of how scary and dangerous it is to be gay, you know, they're always being hate-crimed, as we see all the time. I mean, I can hardly walk down the street without seeing another gay hate crime happen. I'm sorry, hate crime against gays. A gay hate crime would be like Will and Grace or something. It's like daytime TV. That's a gay hate crime. But, you know, it's such a big problem. It's such a difficult thing to be gay in America these days that you have to let everybody know how gay you are by putting a big rainbow sticker talking about how gay people gather and can find safety there. So, you know, obviously they're just living in terror. They're living in a state of abject terror. Getting beaten up all the time, desperately in need of sanctuary in the middle of Nashville, Tennessee, just in case the KKK happens to sniff them out. They need a safe place to go hide, but luckily it's displayed really big on the window how gay they are. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's an inconsistency here. A place that like a community, a society, a culture that advertises how gay they are on their front door is not actually in need of safe spaces for gay people. It's gay enough already. You're not in any danger being gay. That's what that means. So in a way, you doing the safe space sticker thing is only possible in a location where you don't need a safe space sticker thing. So I think this is all just performative. I think you're just performing. I think this is all attention seeking and ego boosting to feel like an oppressed minority and a victim class, when in reality, you're just gay. Nobody cares. It's just annoying. It's just annoying now. We didn't care that you were gay. We care that you make it your entire personality and put giant gay stickers everywhere telling everybody how gay you are and how scared you are because of how dangerous it is to be gay. I wish. No, we wouldn't have to deal with this. Kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm extremely excited about this. You know, we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, "This is works better than Advil." And you know, including family I've had that's like, "Well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills." I said, "Just take two of these." And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, "Wow, this worked better. Why?" Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid, 95%. Okay, so we're very excited about this tincture, just a half dropper a day, so good for your whole body, 95% curcuminoids, the liquid is better absorption, And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2 month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off, it's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexjonesstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy. Turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Back, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving on now. We're moving on from the transgender section of today's program. Let's talk about the speech that Donald Trump gave last night. I'm waiting for something other than a speech. Literally anything other than a speech, any action, anything would be nice other than a speech, another investigation, another looking into. Can we get some action for once? Can we get something done for once? And we'll talk a little bit about what would be done if the sides were flipped. If the Republicans had even an iota, a minuscule sampling of the resolve and aggressiveness of the Democrats, how easily we could solve everything. We'll go to the speech now. But I gotta say, this is just, again, completely off the mark. Did China try to meddle in our elections? Probably. Did it have an effect? Maybe. The mail-in ballots were used to steal the election. Jenna Griswold stole the election. And in fact, William Barr stole the election. We know who stole the election. We know how they stole the election. We know how they covered up the stolen election. Was China involved? Sure, maybe, fine. Go after them too. But go after the people that actually did it here. For whatever their motivation, whether it was with China or not, they stole the election. They rigged our election. They used mail-in ballots to do it. And you don't need any other argument. You really don't. You really don't. I'm trying to think of like if this, you know, just put it in any other crime. Any other crime. If your house got broken into and you were robbed and the police for years keep coming back to you like, okay, we think we've tracked down the missing material to a person in China. We're looking into the financial records of this person in China to see if maybe they had anything to do with the person that robbed you. And it's like, just arrest the person that robbed me. Arrest them to punish them for what they did so they don't do it again. So I can get repaid for my stuff. Just arrest the people doing the crime. Why are we spending year after year after year endlessly investigating things that we know that they did in their own words verbatim? I mean, do we need to bring up people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page in their own text messages? This is our insurance plan. That was all the way back in 2016. So it's just like, how am I supposed to get excited about a presentation about China rigging the election? I would get excited if they paraded a bunch of Democrats in handcuffs. I'd be excited if they were like, here's all the arrests we made. Here's the changes we're making to the electoral process. Oh, and by the way, China was involved. Great. I'd be very satisfied. This is nothing. I'm sorry. This is nothing. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to come of this. This isn't what actually happened. We know what actually happened. Here's, this is like the one thing I would like to do if I was a politician. I would love to be able to sit in Congress, have somebody under oath in front of me talking about election integrity. Because I got like two questions that can destroy the entire concept of mail-in ballots. This is so elementary. Like, what the hell this is the frustrating part. It's like, okay. Here's my question. One, is it possible that a mail-in ballot is mailed to somebody other than its intended recipient? Is that possible? The answer is obviously yes, because we have infinite examples of that exact thing happening. There are no controls to guarantee that that doesn't happen. We know that that happens on a regular basis, to at times an absurd degree. We've had callers call in like, yeah, I got five different ballots. Because of all the people that used to live here and never changed their address, all of their ballots got delivered to me. Okay, so it's not actually a question. It's a rhetorical question. Is it possible in mail-in ballots, the mass mail-out ballot, not the individually requested absentee ballots, but the mass mail-out mail-in ballots, is it possible that those are sent to the wrong recipient? The answer is, of course, yes, it has to be. The next question would be, what would prevent a person receiving somebody else's ballot from filling that ballot out and sending it in? What controls are there? How do you guarantee that doesn't happen? If that did happen, is there a system to detect that? The answer, of course, is no. It has to be no. There is no system to detect that. There is no way of knowing. It's not like the envelope has an ID scanner and you prove who you are as you fill out the ballot. So all that means is that we are running a system in which ballots with somebody's name on it can be sent to somebody, whoever can fill it out, put it in a mailbox, send it in, and it is counted as a valid ballot. It is counted as a vote. And in fact, we know because of the Detroit training videos, if it did arise that the person showed up in person to vote, said, I never sent in a mail-in ballot, I never even received a mail-in ballot, they were told to lie to that person, say, it's fine, just fill out this, you know, temporary ballot, and then throw that ballot away and count the one that was mailed in. We know that that's the case, but that's extemporaneous. That's extra anyway. already, just from the two facts I just laid out, you know that this system cannot be secure. It is impossible to secure it. You can't, it's logistically impossible to go back and guarantee that every ballot sent in was sent in by the right person. You can't do it. The only thing you could possibly do is signature match, and that is like nothing. That's like, you might as well practice, you know, whatever that science is where the shape of your skull determines your personality. Like, there's no way to do it effectively, realistically. So that's it. Like, that's the argument right there. You shouldn't have mail-in ballots, and all mail-in ballot results should be thrown out because you literally cannot guarantee anything about it. And anybody answering those two questions honestly, and you can't answer them not honestly. Like, if I were to say, can a mail-in ballot be sent to the wrong person? You can't say no, because you would just be an idiot. Like, everybody would know that you're lying. You can't say, no, that doesn't happen. Of course that happens. All you can say is, well, people shouldn't do that. Well, it's a felony crime to open a you know, somebody else's mail. Really? You think that's going to stop people? You think if somebody who's like a diehard, you know, Trump is Hitler leftist gets five different ballots in their mailbox, they would have any hesitation in filling them out for Biden or Harris, putting it in the mailbox and walking away clean, walking away scot-free? Am I wrong? I mean, you tell me. To me, those two questions demolish the entire concept of mail-in balloting. Can mail-in ballots be sent to the wrong person? Is there any way to detect that a ballot is filled out by somebody other than the person that's supposed to be? The only possible way is through signatures, and that is a joke. It's a complete joke. In the short time that enhanced save systems have been available to states, 10 states have processed their full voter lists. As of June 22, 2026, a total of 25 different states processed more than 68 million registration records through the save system. DHS has enabled those states to identify over 400,000 deceased residents, registrants, and over 28,000 non-citizens who illegally registered to vote. Wow. 28,000 non-citizens who illegally registered to vote. Yeah, that's a lot, especially when our elections are decided by a few thousand votes in a few key districts. That could swing the entire election nationwide. But that's just on top of already laid out the intrinsic shortcomings, the intrinsic insecurity of mail-in ballot systems. So we can listen to Donald Trump talking about China stealing the election, but that's not the problem. It's just not. The problem is the Democrats. And that should be obvious. Let's go to clip number one here. Donald Trump on the 220 million U.S. voter files being investigated.
They show that over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project. Compounding the travesty, the second set of documents we are releasing reveals that members of the deep state, very, very famous group of people, many cases, in our intelligence agency work to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people like nobody thought was possible.
So I didn't hear anything about them stealing the election. So they gathered data, they gathered information. How did they use that? Did they use it? Now, again, people are posting all sorts of videos of Avril Haines, former ODNI director, talking about the threat of China meddling in the elections. People are posting old videos of Hillary Clinton saying, if they're asking the Russians, we should ask China to be involved. I'm sure China is meddling. All right, this is not the problem. This is not the issue. I'm sorry. It's just not. In my opinion, I think we got bigger fish to fry. I think we got bigger problems to try to deal with. Let's go to clip number 10 here. Again, this is more about CIA hiding information about China meddling in the 2020 election.
The cover-up of this colossal security breach is even more disturbing in light of the additional information showing that China engaged in other election-related activities to undermine my first administration and our 2020 campaign. They did not want, and they just didn't want it. They fought like hell not to have it Donald Trump to win, and for good reason. As the documents we are releasing show, CIA reporting explicitly stated, and I quote, in mid-2018, the Chinese Communist Party's policy was to leverage all domestic and foreign elements that were opposed to the U.S. president in an effort to reduce the U.S. president's votes and make him resign or prevent his reelection. Isn't that nice? Also, in mid-2018, China was working to influence the results of the U.S. midterm elections and later the results of the 2020 presidential election itself. Separately, in mid-2019, the Chinese government's strategy against the United States was focused on undermining domestic confidence in the U.S. president. They wanted to just make you sound like your president wasn't so hot, when actually your president has done a great job, and they did everything possible to do exactly that. Going on, this document says, and this is by the CIA, the strategy included efforts to use Chinese contacts with big U.S. companies to influence U.S. business leaders to turn against the president of the United States of America. The Chinese government sought to identify U.S. journalists who had reported negatively on the U.S. president and pay them large sums of money to write more negative articles about him, as many as they could, and they didn't care what they said. The Chinese government wanted U.S. president to lose the next election. And the reason they wanted me to lose is because they knew I was wise to them, charged them billions and billions of dollars worth of tariffs, and built the strongest military anywhere in the world. We have the strongest military anywhere in the world. These are exact quotes from the CIA reporting.
If you remember yesterday, I was complaining or just sort of pontificating about the endless hypocrisy of the left and how, like, they wouldn't exist if they weren't hypocrites, that it wouldn't make any sense for them. They're, like, extremely, you know, angry about oppression of minorities in America, and then equally applied that to the oppression of white people in South Africa. Like, it would be hilarious. That would never happen because they don't actually care about minority rights. They hate white people, right? It's exposed in their hypocrisy that if it was at all consistent, you know, they would be just as mad at China for interfering with the election as they pretended to be about Russia when they thought that Russia was, you know, manipulating Donald Trump. But they don't care. Here's the problem. It's hard not to be a hypocrite. And I have principles. So while I would love if I could cheer on this announcement as if this was, you know, a major bombshell, I have to be consistent. I can't help it. And what I just heard Donald Trump lay out sounded a hell of a lot like what the Democrats claimed about Russia, like what actually Russia did. Not the, you know, Trump is a Russian puppet stuff, but like they paid for Facebook ads. They gathered data about voters. Okay, and that's not rigging our election. It probably didn't even affect our election. So what Donald Trump just laid out was China paid people to write stuff that was unfriendly to Trump. Well, don't know if you watched your vice president on Joe Rogan yesterday, Mr. President, but, you know, they talked for several minutes about how Israel is paying influencers to write negative material about your administration to try to stop the peace process with the war in Iran. Do you care about that? It's exactly what China's doing. Like, how am I supposed to care about China telling people to write articles when it's like the most well-publicized thing ever right now that Israel is spending tens of millions of dollars running entire networks, campaigns, buying out TikTok. But China doing it, it's awful. It's really bad. It's so bad, you know, when they paid. It's like only Israel is allowed to own our politicians. There's something else he said in that last segment. I can't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, it could just be applied directly to Miriam Adelson, right? It's foreigners don't have America's best interests in mind, paying a ton of money to shift politics in their benefit. Yeah, I'm against China doing this, but they are not the biggest threat to this happening in America right now. And of course, this is almost entirely has to do with the war in Iran, Section 219, everybody recognizing that Israel is not our friend and Iran is not exactly our biggest problem. And so they're trying to create problems with China to distract from 219, to make it look like we're a unified front against the communist threat of China and Russia, to try to, you know, play on the whole, it's Israel and America versus the Red-Green Alliance. It's bullshit. It's a lie. Israel writes regular articles about how they're pivoting to China. It's like a very regular topic of discussion in Israel amongst themselves when they do little confabs or when they write articles. It's all about how America is collapsing, America is going down, and that China will be their new sugar daddy, or India will be their new sugar daddy, or that we don't need America because China will, you know, fill in. And they're playing this game, right? They know that, you know, America is rivals with China and will do a lot to try to keep China out of the Middle East. Meanwhile, Israel, like, giving China backdoor access to the Middle East because they're not our friends, because they're not our allies. Just search like Israel, China. They're like best friends. Israel and China go way back, you might say. And of course, I love the video that we used to play it a lot. We haven't played it in a while, but it's the Chinese professor talking about how he forced the Politics and Prose bookstore to host Xi Jinping. And he's bragging about it. And I love it because it, you know, shows in really stark relief the difference between China and America, where the American business owner is like, I don't care who you are. You're not, I don't like you. You're not using my business. And as an American, I'm like, hell yeah. That's what being American is. That's what it means. That it doesn't matter if you're the king of China, queen of Timbuktu, you don't outrank an American. You have no power over an American. That little bookshop of his, it's his. He owns it. He gets to decide who goes there and who doesn't. Oh, you're the king of China. You're the president of China. Get lost, buddy. I'm an American. Yeah, China highlights new chapter with Israel at embassy celebration. They just spent $33 billion on a trade deal in 2025. Beijing's new Tel Aviv embassy hosted the first major event since the Gaza war ended, marking the year of the fire horse. Bilateral trade reached a historic $33 billion in 2025. Yeah, America just needs to stand up for ourselves. Like, we just have, it's just like all of our enemies just having a field day with each other. Let's go to clip 8 here. So this is basically my reaction as well. This was posted by Shane Jenkins at The Real J6 Shane. Let's watch.
Good morning, everybody. Shane Jenkins here at a really nice gym. They've got patriotic barbells and flags, and see, I'm wearing my gear, but I just wanted to say last night, you know, I appreciate President Trump coming out with the election fraud information. I think
You know, we've been screaming this for 5 years. That's why I went to the Capitol to protest a stolen election. So my take on it is you're going to lay out the evidence. Where is, you know, where are the arrests? When you start rounding up people like they were rounding up January 6th, I think that shows that you guys are serious about holding people accountable, about securing our elections, about righting the wrongs of the 2020 election. So great that you rolled out the evidence. Now let's put some power behind that punch. Let's start rounding people up just like you rounded up J6ers. I would love to see the same roundup of the Epstein perpetrators, because those victims deserve justice just like we do. So God bless you all. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. Get out there, get outside, enjoy the weather, enjoy the air, take your dog for a walk, get up off the couch, call somebody who you haven't heard from in a while, check on your friends. It's up to us to take care of each other. So I love y'all. God bless you all. May he provide for you today like he does every day with abounding grace and love. See y'all soon.
You know, I totally agree with him, but I'm just trying to figure out how to deal with this, because they're not going to do it. They don't want to do it. They're lying. If they want to do it, they would. I'm trying to think of an example of just, but like it couldn't be more obvious. It's just like, they just don't want to do it. There's nothing stopping them. There's no barrier. There's no legal, you know, roadblock. There's nothing. They just don't want to do it. They don't care. That's why you should be insulted that they come out and give speeches like this, because they think that will satisfy you. They think the people are getting a little restless, getting a little pissed off at the Trump administration. It's going a little far. And then they make this announcement and everybody, oh, okay, something's happening. But nothing's actually happening. Nothing's happening. Nobody's being arrested. And I actually love that he said, round these people up like they rounded up J6ers. Do you realize what you're asking for? We can't get them to arrest the actual criminals, the people who created the virus in a lab and killed millions of people by lying about it. We can't get them to arrest them. The Democrats arrested Stuart Rhodes when he never went in the Capitol, explicitly told people not to go in the Capitol. They arrested him and threw him in prison for 20 years on the basis of an unspoken conspiracy. I would love to get to that place with leftists and Democrats. I would love to be arresting every single one of them, no matter what they did, because that's what happened to us. But first, can we go after the actual criminals?
When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100 plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones, on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You've got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com.
They called me crazy, they called me paranoid, but now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.